Good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing good? Good, good. That's good. That's always good. Well, we got Charisse to the airport okay, and her flight was at 5:15, and they're just now taking off. So Orlando was full. They didn't have nowhere for the plane to park, and so she had to wait a little while. And but it was an experience. I'm 40 years old, and I've never been inside of an airport before. Never been on an airplane, and everything moving around was, and then learning that I heard for a long time that, you know, our airport is the world's largest, and but it was a smooth operation with all kinds of moving parts in there, and her mother, Charisse's mother Tara, paid for her to have a guide, security to, you know, sit with her at the gate. And come to find out, they told me that I was the guy. But I had someone drive me there that used to work for Delta. So it was me, Lily, and Millard Shaw. Charisse's parents, they were part of the airport ministry there. And they knew a chaplain, and he came down. He took her back, sat with her just till now. So the Lord worked it out. And Lily did good. She did good. It was the first time that Charisse, when they moved down there for the first time, back when it was cold weather, and it was that day after school in the back of the parking lot, her mom and I pulled up with Lily, and they hugged for that last time, and they were crying. But I told Lily, I said, there's no time to be sad. School's about to start. I said, busy all next week. We're getting school things together. Charisse has to have her wisdom teeth taken out tomorrow, just in time for that. So she has a busy schedule. But anyway, so it's been a busy day, but been a good day. So good to be here tonight. And I went ahead and asked Brother Don Rich if he would speak for us tonight. Didn't know when I'd be back. And he'll be bringing the word here in a few moments. We do want to just jump right into things as we normally do, and I got an update on the Bendy family, Michael and Shauna, and I asked Brother Michael if this was okay to share it. He said, please share, but unfortunately, they're moving back to Alabama, the Bendy family, and they will be moving back on the 30th of this month, which is next Saturday, I believe it's. I better know what next Saturday is. That's Christy's birthday. And my mom's birthday. What will be my mom's birthday on the same day? So they're moving back then. They're going to have a big 20, 24-foot truck. And they actually asked if I could recruit some people to help. Nobody run away. Everybody running and hiding. Anyway, I told Michael, I said, I'll do the best I can do to get a few people out there. I said, depending on what I'm doing for Christy on her birthday, we'll determine if I'm out there. So just need some help loading up some things, and they're going to take off to Alabama. And so they've got a house there. They've got doctors there for Shauna. It just seems like the best path for them to take to get things straightened out with her health and some financial things. So we praise the Lord for them, but also that God has given them clear direction. So let's remember them tonight. Let's remember Ruby Harper. Continue to remember Brother David Henderson. I spoke with him today. Just a little bit of sinus trouble, but he has that normally every year anyway. He said he can't tell the difference that he's had COVID or anything, so he's doing good. He's supposed to test on, I think it's Sunday morning. I think he's supposed to test on Sunday morning, or maybe before then. Anyway, he should be back Sunday night, him and Miss Glenda. Miss Glenda's doing great. She doesn't have anything, so praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Miss Krista Sapp and her heart situation, doing good, but still has to have some iron infusions and build up her iron count. So we'll continue to remember Miss Krista and Stephen and family concerning that. Has anybody spoke with Richard Martin? I intended on calling him today and didn't get around to it. I guess he's our newest member, Brother Richard is. And so this may be second or third Wednesday he's been out. So I intended on calling him already by now, but we'll reach out to him tomorrow. Gerald Carroll, Miss Mary Ann Sanvey. Let's remember Miss Mary Rich and her elbow. C.C. Prestridge, Randy and Diane Ely, our children's home staff and all. Bobby and Nancy McClendon. Brother Bobby, he was here Sunday morning, but his energy was totally depleted by then coming out of the COVID. And then, so that's the case, I believe it is, for tonight. His energy is he just gets zapped quick. So let's remember him, Miss Nancy, and Kelly and Tanner. Of course, Kelly having lost her husband a while back and being the daughter of Miss Nancy. Let's remember Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, getting better from COVID. James and Shirley Townsend, Mary Kelly, the Daly's, Ashworth, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. Of course, Brother Randy's doing much, much better. Last time I seen, he and Janet, Brother Snyder, Miss Marshall, was all over at First Baptist Atlanta worshiping the Lord. And so he really made a comeback. God really touched him, and we'll continue to pray for him. And Miss Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, and all of our other shut-ins. Let's remember them. Any updates, any prayers, praise reports to give, Miss Marianne?
I'm going for my foot surgery next Thursday.
Okay. Next Thursday. And the official date on that would be what?
28.
Perfect. All right. Now, this is how fast I forget. This is a consultation or surgery?
Surgery.
So I thought that was right. But I second-guessed myself. Okay. Big deal there. Feeling good about it?
Yeah, I can. It'd be nice to not be in pain. And
yeah, absolutely. You know where that's going to be at?
What?
Do you know where that's going to be at?
The Vinings.
Vinings? That's where Christy works, out in Vinings. All right, we'll be praying for that for sure. Anyone else?
I got a job this week.
Did you?
They're out in Dunwoody.
All right.
I can't have everything.
Okay. Okay. Dunwoody, is that Sandy Springs?
That's where Sandy Springs.
Okay, I thought so. That's
all the
people. Okay. Well, good. God will keep you busy if you ask him. Give you a full plate. Well, praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Brother Don?
I was going to say, I texted with Harold earlier. He said he's doing better.
Okay. Wow. So that probably why he wasn't here last week. Car trouble, Brother Harold, okay. Get that car to the shop soon. Anyone else? All right, well, let's just remember our young people tonight, those that are not at camp. And I believe Brother Brian said Sunday morning we got 11 that's at Camp Ivy. I read where Brother Art Brady had posted on Facebook, I don't know if it was one or two or more souls got saved, but there's been some salvations. there at camp, and a couple, they've been putting out some video here and there of them singing, and if you're interested in looking at it, it's Camp Ivy on Facebook. You can check that out. And so praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? Okay. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to mention if we could just lift up our church here, those that haven't been here in quite a while.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those who haven't been here in a while, and I know several, and let's just really pray that that God will direct them back. I know some things are beyond their control, our control, but just pray that God will cut them a path, a clear path right back here. And so remember that. Remember this coming up Sunday will be our youth Sunday. And Brother Brian in the morning will be preaching. And then we asked Brother Kevin in the evening service to preach. And so he'll be doing that. And the young people, they'll have the music the whole day. And so it'll just be a great time this coming up Sunday. And so a while back we decided to give them both services just because, well, for the longest time, from what I hear, it was on Sunday night. And a lot of churches do that on Sunday night. But, you know, the majority of the people are here on Sunday morning, and to give them a full audience congregation is really a good thing. And to just make it the whole day, I think, does them well. Makes them feel like we want to use them more. So we're looking forward to this coming up Sunday. All right, just grab a bulletin and catch up on the other things going on this month. We won't drag out any further this portion, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. We'll gather around the altar or right there at your pew, wherever you feel most comfortable, and we'll pray, and then we've got us a song here in just a moment.
It's good to be here with you this evening. And
it's always a privilege to be able to stand behind the pulpit here at Calvary and be able to bring a message.
I just want to say thank you to Brother Justin. I know he had a situation where he possibly couldn't be here, but I just praise the Lord that he trusted me enough once again with the pulpit to ask me to preach tonight. And for this message, we're going to be going into an Old Testament book, the book of Leviticus. Now, you can stick something in there, a little bookmark or something. We're going to see some other scripture first, but we all know that this book is not the most popular book in the Bible. You know, with 66 inspired books to choose from, not too many individuals want to pick this out for just a leisurely afternoon read. And that's because it's filled with laws, details, rules, and regulations for the Jews and the duties of the Levites. And we all know that the Levites were the tribe of Israel that God actually specially chose to care for and to carry out the daily work in the temple. But this book also, and I'm going to give a good bit of background here before I actually get into something, because I kind of want to lay the pattern of what we're seeing here in this book. This book teaches holiness, and it teaches the penalties for sin, which is another reason why a lot of people, I believe, don't want to get into it. It teaches different types of offerings, purifications, and religious festivals that were to be held. Now, it's a great book to show just how God works in the details, because if you ever start reading it, you'll realize just how many minute details there are in the book of Leviticus. But it's also the book where we learn about the year of Jubilee, a great year, the 50th year when that trumpet sounded and it proclaimed liberty. We saw slaves were set free that had been slaves, could have been anywhere from 1 year up to 50 years they could have been in slavery, but they were set free in the year of Jubilee. And land that was used to pay debt was returned to its original owner. So there's a beautiful picture of God's provision, God's rest, and God's redemption that we see in the story of the Jubilee. Now, let me go back to the laws for just a minute, because I want to cover that. As we study God's Word, we begin to understand the reason for the law. You see, the law was given to the Jews, God's chosen people, to show them that they could not measure up to God's standards. I mean, it was really given to them just to show them, you can't do this. You just can't do this. The law was given to expose their sin and to show them their need for a Savior. And then Jesus came to fulfill that law that neither the Jews nor anyone else could fulfill. So he came and took care of it himself, again showing that he was the only way. But before we start reading in Leviticus, I want us to look at a few other passages. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, if you would. Acts chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 38. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, of course Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So you'll notice here, it's only those who believe, and belief is not a simple action. It's a heartfelt conviction of truth. What we're talking about is being fully persuaded of a fact. There's just too many easy believers in our churches nowadays, those who have a distorted view of what belief really is. They said, oh yeah, I believe in God, but that's not what it is. Let me tell you, I really would, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and give me an answer, but do we really believe the way that that word is meant? Stop and think for just a minute. Do we really believe that God is in total control of everything? Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. Then why do we worry so much? Think about that for just a moment. Do we really believe that God will supply our needs according to His riches and glory? Oh yeah, I do. Then why is it that 90-something percent of people in the church won't give to God's house? They won't give to the work of God. They don't tithe. They don't give offerings. They don't have anything. Why? Because they don't trust God. And I had somebody ask me in Peru a while back, because we taught on the subject of giving, and I made a statement that people who don't tithe, people who don't give to God's work, just don't trust God. And I had a person come up to me afterwards and said, "Do you really believe that?" I said, "Of course I do." Because God told us in Malachi, I mean, that's the only place in the whole Bible that he said, "Listen, not only are you supposed to do this, but try me in this. I mean, test me and see if I'm telling you I'll bless you." And he promised all those blessings, and yet people don't trust. They don't believe what God says. Now, I'll leave that where it's at, but just to let you know, there are so many easy believers in our church. They say they believe, but that's not really what they're doing. Folks, there's an important chain of events that will come from that one word, believe. You know, it's evident from watching people's lives and listening to their words and sadly reading their posts online that we see there's so many that don't understand what the word believe means. You see, if someone truly believes, and that what I'm talking about here is they're fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's God in the flesh, that he lived a sinless life, he died on that cross, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, and he's coming back in the rapture for the church. And there's a lot of people that are not convinced of that, but those that are truly believe are fully persuaded of these facts. In short, if we truly believe, if we place our confidence in what God said in his word to be true, simply we're going to act on it. We're going to do what it says. If we truly believe what it says, we're going to act on it. We're going to do our very best to live our lives in a manner that glorifies him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As usual, we're going to be doing a Bible drill tonight. A lot of people accuse me of that when I'm preaching, but I believe God's Word says it a whole lot better than I do. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," let's translate that to any man who truly believes, that's the ones that's in Christ according to what we just read, those who truly believe, he is a new creature. It says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Notice what it says, passed away. What we're talking about here is not lingering. It's gone. It's out of here. It's nowhere around. It's not coming back, folks. It is passed away. Behold, all things have come new. If any man be in Christ, if he truly believes what God's Word says. So if we're true believers, it's going to be evident that we have become a new creature. And our lives will clearly show the change. And it's only that new creature, the one that has died to itself, the one who has put his old life behind him, that is justified, that is declared righteous, as we read in Acts 13, because of what Christ did on the cross. And as I said, the law was given to expose sin and show a need for a Savior. And because of what Christ accomplished, it brought us out from under the bondage of law. If you're making notes, just write down a couple of verses. One is Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Again, it just points right back to why we had the law. Sin is anything that doesn't please God. Anything that doesn't please God. Without the law, we wouldn't have known what that was. The Jews constantly struggled to keep the law. And they might do okay in some areas, but you know, what if they failed in just one? Note down another verse, James 2:10. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, this fact helps us to understand that we would never, ever get to heaven just by keeping the law, just by trying to follow all the rules and regulations, because everybody is going to fail in one way or another. So there had to be another way to get to heaven other than being just good enough and following those laws. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." You see, sacrifices
were a covering for sin, not a cure. It was just a covering. Sin can't enter in heaven, so we see that there would also have to be another way other than making animal sacrifices. And we know that God provided that other way in the form of His own Son. Galatians 4:4, if you would. Galatians 4:4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Galatians 5:18 says, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Folks, there is a division in history of how sin was handled. And that division has a name. And His name is Jesus. There was a division when Christ came between the way sin would be handled and the way sin had been being handled. Luke chapter 16, verse 16, please. Luke 16, 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." So there we see the division. You see, John the Baptist presented Christ as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world and to invite us to enter His kingdom. That's where the division began. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses." Again, we see the division. "But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, we've all been placed under God's grace by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And if we could get to heaven any other way, His sacrifice was not needed. Note this verse down, if you would. Galatians 2:21. Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If we could do anything to get to heaven on our own, we don't need Christ. He's dead in vain. But I don't know about you, but I've said it before, I'll say it again. In love, Christ died for me. Not in vain. Not in vain. Even though we're not under the law, there's much that we can learn from the laws that God set forth to the Jews. And we can see that today. Each had a purpose to show the holiness of God and how we should live a separated and holy life from this world. And in this message, what I'd like to do is I want to focus on one of the specific types of offerings that God required from His people. So I know the introduction was a little long, but I wanted you to see where we're coming from, what was needed. And then I want you to see this certain type of offering that God required. The first chapter of Leviticus speaks specifically about the burnt offering. The burnt offering. You say, "Boy, no, that's a strange thing for us to study on." But I think you're going to see some interesting things tonight, or at least I did when I was reading through it. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 9 to begin with. "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord." And you say, "Wow, that's what we're studying tonight." I promise you, it's going to get interesting before we get through. The rest of this chapter discusses two other types of animals that could be used in burnt sacrifices. And that was, there was the sheep or the goats, and then there was the birds, and that could have been a dove or a pigeon. And this was done to accommodate the financial ability of each person and family. Just think about that for a moment. God made the covering of sin available to everyone. It didn't matter your status. Didn't matter at all, and he took care of that. Now, as you read through verses 10 through 17, you'll notice the details of the sacrifices that they made. If you really read through that, it can be boring unless you're looking at it at the right way. And you start seeing how every time, it didn't matter if it was a bullock or if it was a dove, it was sacrificed pretty much in the same way. Again, we're on the same level. It doesn't matter our social status, folks. And as we study a little bit more later, each sacrifice, burnt sacrifice, was a sweet aroma to the Lord. We're going to find that out also. But one main lesson that is taught in the act of the burnt offering was the necessity of self-surrender and total devotion to God, even to the point of giving our life. In the book of Romans, we hear the same lesson as Paul implored us as Christians to be totally surrendered to God. If you'll put your finger there in Leviticus and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you've ever heard me preach, you've heard me use this verse. Because I'm telling you, it seems like every time I preach, I need to go there. I need to reiterate what God has said. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. He didn't say, I'm asking you. You know, he didn't say, I'm ordering you. He said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'd like for us to read from another passage in Leviticus that gives us some more details about this special offering. You say, oh boy, more details on all these offerings. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8. Y'all turn there if you would. It'll get interesting before it's over. If not, afterwards I'll leave. I plan to anyway, but Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, as shall he put on his flesh. And take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with a burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments. And carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Now verses 12 and 13 bring out a very important point that I would like to focus on as we look back over the scriptures we read in Leviticus and these two verses in Romans. That's a pretty lengthy introduction, isn't it? We're getting there, folks. We're getting there. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat and the peace offerings. The fire shall never be burning, shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The title of this message comes from these two verses. I want us to notice tonight the command from God to keep the fire burning. The command that God gave to us to keep that fire burning. He says it'll never go out. So that tells me it's a daily, moment by moment, constant sacrifice that He expects of us. The altar of our heart should always and ever be on fire for God. Now in this message, I'd like for us to look in, for us to see how we can apply the Old Testament sacrificial offering to our daily lives. And we're going to see many great comparisons of how we can and should keep that fire burning. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Let's look back at Leviticus 1:1. We'll start there. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. First thing we notice here is that God called to Moses from above the mercy seat inside the tabernacle. Now, the Hebrew name for the book of Leviticus is taken from these first few words, and it means, and he called. And he called. And God called. We see right here, God called Moses. God has called us from the altar of our own heart through the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and he has called us to sacrifice, as we saw in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Remember, it said to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So there's so much correlation in this. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6:19, if you're making notes. Sadly, there are so many who reject that call and refuse to listen to the Spirit's drawing in their life. And that's even from salvation. Too many people reject it. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And let me tell you, as the years roll by, it's fewer and fewer that are saying yes to Christ. Now let's start with the topic of the burnt sacrifice. That word burnt here from verse 3 in chapter 1. What does it signify? Well, we've already said that it exemplifies self-surrender and total devotion to God. But I believe this special offering goes just a little bit further. I want you to stop and think a minute. What do you think about when you consider the word burnt? Now, guys, I don't want to hear anything about dinners and things like that of the past. Be careful. I want you to think about that for a moment. Number one, what I put down, it's something that's really been totally surrendered. I mean, a sacrifice is complete surrender of something valuable. If it's not valuable, if it's just junk or trash, then it's not a sacrifice, is it? So a sacrifice is a complete surrender of something valuable from one person to another or one entity to another. The end result is that it is of no further use to the original owner because it is something that can never be reclaimed. So we see that there. Then number two, it's something that has been totally consumed. If it's burnt, the burnt sacrifice was the most important of all because it was totally consumed. It was completely sacrificed. You know, if you read these others about other sacrifices, there were some that they would sacrifice, but it was really more like cooking it because the priest ate it. But this one is totally, totally sacrificed. Perfect, wonderful, beautiful animals, completely burnt to nothing but ashes. Folks, our daily sacrifice to God should never be half-hearted, just warmed up. It should be full, on fire, surrendering of ourselves to God, and that's every single morning, not just sometime, not just on Sundays. Revelation 3:15, if you'll turn there with me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Y'all know this verse, but I want to read it in the context of what we're reading tonight. Revelation chapter 3 verse 15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word lukewarm, we need to stop and think just a moment about that. Are we truly on fire for God in our prayer life? Are we on fire for God in our attendance to the services in our church, in our local assembly? Are we on fire for God in our in the service that we give to God, in doing something for Him? Are we on fire for God in our giving? You see, our sacrifice will be adamantly rejected if God, by God, if we do it with less than our whole heart. If we're not giving our best, He don't want it. He don't want it. And that burnt offering is an example that we should follow of Christ's perfect surrender of himself. You'll read all throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, where he is the example we're to follow. And I know that's a great thing to do, you know, a big thing that we just can't do, but we can do our very best to get there. We can do our very best to do what we can. Number three, burnt is something that will be publicly or physically evidenced or seen. The Hebrew word for burnt sacrifice is olah, meaning that which ascends. That which ascends. Think about that burnt offering and the smoke. Just as that smoke is seen by everybody as it is rising up, our daily walk, our public testimony of being totally surrendered to God and the will of God will be noticed by those around us. People will notice. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be bragging, even though we don't intentionally show off, we don't brag. Just the fact that we're out there, our very lifestyle, the choices we make because we're on fire for God, our responses to situations in this life is a shining testimony that will be observed. It will be just like rising smoke up from that sacrifice that people will see. And we don't have to show it off. God's Spirit will shine through us. Now next in verse 3 of chapter 1, we see that the offering must be without blemish. We've heard that many times. See, Christ, our example, was God's sinless lamb. We can only be considered righteous when our sins are confessed to God, when we truly confess to Him. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, in other words, if I try to hang on to a sin that I enjoy and I'm not going to repent of it, the Lord will not hear me. He's not even going to listen to my prayer. And this coincides with Romans 12:1. We read that we're to present our bodies as holy living sacrifices. God's not going to bless our work and sacrifice for Him if we have unconfessed sin in our heart. We can peddle just like Fred Flintstone in that old car all we want to, and we're not going to get any traction, folks. Now I want you to notice the next part of verse 3. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Self-sacrifice is not doing something because of duty or obligation. You see, we can't expect God's blessings for doing something that we grudgingly give or we grudgingly do for Him. Oh, I've got to go do this. We won't get anything out of that. It's a personal decision to give ourselves wholly over to God, placing ourselves in His hands to do with as He pleases. As He pleases. Now I want us to notice the location or the presentation of the sacrifice in verse 3. I want you to notice it says it will be offered at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What is a door? The door is the very entrance to gain access. And it's just inside the door where in the Old Testament that brazen altar was located, where the sacrifice was actually received, just inside the door. There was only one way, one door to bring sacrifices into the tabernacle. There was only one way for sins to be covered. And that was by following God's design, God's plan that He put in place. And folks, this reminds us that God has provided only one way for anyone to get to heaven. Amen? There's a song, I don't know if y'all have heard it, I'm sure a lot of you have. It says, everybody wants to go up to heaven, but not very many want to go by Calvary. I mean, there's so many people trying to reach heaven by other means other than salvation's plan, what God has given us. And in that song, it talks about riches. You know, if I can make enough money, if I can give enough money, if I can help enough people, or if I can do enough stuff, if I can be active enough in church. Or maybe I'm just going to live a good life and I'll be nice to people and I'll live a good life. John chapter 10, verse 1. Turn with me there if you would. John chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to look at verse 4 of our text in Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and that shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. So the placing of his hand on the head of the sacrificial animal signified that it represented his own life as the person offering the sacrifice, and it was clean. It was without blemish. If you'll remember in Romans 12, 1, we read that we are to present our bodies acceptable unto God. And in the same way, the sacrificial animal had to be presented acceptable upon the altar as a blood sacrifice. Look at verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around the and upon the altar, around about upon the altar. Verse 6. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. Well, it's getting a little gory. But let me tell you, it gets good here. You see, Romans 12, verse 2 instructed us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that word transformed signifies changed into another form and speaks of our changing into something that can be used for God. Something that can be used of God. Now, to be transformed requires a perfect and a complete surrender to say, you've got all of me and you can change any and all that you want to. The flaying, the cutting into pieces of the sacrifice transformed it into presentable pieces for the altar. They all had a place where they're supposed to be laid. Everything was in order. Verse 8, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar. Again, it's a total sacrifice. Notice in verses 5 through 9 that everything from the blood and the fat to the head and the individual pieces of the animal, every single part, what's that word? A-double-L? All was sacrificed on the altar. And again, referring back to our command in Romans 12, 1, we are told to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I know you've probably heard this many times. I know I've said it a couple of times, but I heard long ago the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps wanting to crawl back off the altar. So we've got to be careful that once we put ourselves in God's hands, we leave ourselves there. Now, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The implication here is that when we present our bodies, everything comes with it. Everything comes with it. That's our strength, that's our mind, that's our will, that's our possession. All of the pieces have to be presented or we're not giving 100%. We're not on fire for the Lord. So folks, we're to put our all on the altar. Is our all truly on the altar? You know, there's an old saying about, you know, it costs an arm and a leg. Let me tell you, serving, truly serving God costs a lot more than an arm and a leg. It costs everything. It costs everything. And we've got to be willing to give that. Now notice the last part of verse 9 of our text. The priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, the sacrifices of the Old Testament burned, and they provided a fragrant offering that reached all the way to the nostrils of God. Think about that. Verse 9 speaks of an offering made by fire. And we think about the trials and the suffering that we go through for the sake of our testimony. All that is sweet in the eyes of our God and never overlooked. He knows what we go through. He knows what we have to bear down here as being Christians. So if you've ever cooked out on a grill, and I know most of us have, or even cooked on an open fire, you know that the fat is what causes that meat to have such a good, rich flavor. I see a couple licking their lips. The sweet savor of that fat should remind us of how God views our prayers. Think about that for a moment. In the book of Revelation, we read how they're offered with incense on the golden altar before the Lord. So they go up to Him as a sweet savior. Now, for the next few minutes, what I want to do is I want to turn back to where we read earlier in chapter 6. I want to look at a few more comparisons of how we can and how we should keep that fire burning. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning on the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar should be burning in it. Now, in the same way that Moses was instructed to teach others in the law, we, as Christians, are commanded to go into all the world to teach others about God's wonderful and marvelous grace. So again, we have that division. We had the law, now we've got grace. We had the law, now we've got Christ. So we see that division. Our job is to share grace with everyone. Verse 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh. The clothing of the priest was very special. He had to be clean before putting it on. And it covered his entire body with white linen, which represented holiness and purity. Now, I know some sacrifices are harder than others to make, and I know this is a sensitive subject for many, especially young people. I pray that some young people are listening tonight or will listen in the future. But let me tell you, God's Word teaches purity, it teaches holiness, and it teaches modesty. And that's something that is missing in today's society. Folks, modesty is not tight, revealing clothing or selfies in a bedroom or a bathroom. I just want to say that real quick and move on. But there's something missing in today's society, and even in the churches that you see around now, when the modern preachers want to look more like the people they're preaching to, the kids, than they want to honor God. And that, to me, is a shame in itself. The kids they're trying to reach, they look more like them than examples of holiness. Now, no matter what our age, we need to be dressing modestly, of course. And there is an old saying, if it's not for sale, don't advertise it. And I know I'm not talking to anybody in here tonight, but I do pray that somebody can hear this that will understand what I'm saying. Now, I recently saw a video of a fairly famous young lady, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to mention her name. She was preaching on modesty. And this is what's going on. This is what our young people are hearing, because a lot of people follow this young lady. And in short, her idea was that modesty was what you think pleases God in your stage of Christian growth. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Modesty is not something that you choose depending on where you're at in life. I mean, promoting lust is sin every day. It just doesn't make any difference. The definition of thievery is not determined by how long you've been a Christian. The definition of fornication isn't determined by the date that you were saved. You see, when the Bible speaks of us dying daily, it isn't saying that we're dying just a little bit each day. Just a little bit of it of us dies. What it's saying is we are choosing to die daily to the things of this world. So folks, if we sin, we sin. There is no depending on where you're at. It's we sin. We don't sin a little better each day, but we grow in grace, but sin is still sin. Now, if we're to keep the fire burning, we need to keep ourselves pure, living holy lives with modesty that portrays godliness. Now, let's move on. Notice again verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Very interesting if you read that. Notice that the ashes were removed from the altar. The remains of the sacrifices, reduced to their very smallest form, were separated, swept out, and taken away, and put away. And just as Christ was made sin for us, he died once for all. He provided us with righteousness as a result of it, and there's nothing else left to do. What this tells us is that what has been dealt with, let it go. Any sin that we have turned over to God, let it go. We don't need to keep trying to bring stuff back from the ashes. We don't have to live in guilt. Whatever God has forgiven is gone. As a matter of fact, Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It's gone. It's ashes. Verse 12 in Leviticus 6. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. In these two verses, I want us to notice the timing of the altar fire. Look at verse 12 again. It talks about the fire shall be burning. Folks, that's constant. That doesn't mean that they come back every morning and they add a little wood and start a new fire. No, it's a constant burning. The fire shall be burning. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. In other words, he's just adding new fuel to the flame every single day. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Folks, it is very evident from these verses that God wants unceasing and increasing worship from us. As we grow in grace, as we grow in knowledge of God's Word and who we are in Christ, we should be increasing also that worship and not just increasing in it, but we should never stop. It's a daily thing. He wants to be in constant communication with us. And I want to encourage each of us to burn that wood every single day. Why? Because His mercies are new every morning. So we need to put new fuel on our fire every single morning. How do we do that? In prayer, and reading God's Word, and being in God's house, and doing all we can to fill ourselves with His Word. Folks, our prayers are fuel to the flame. Fuel to the flame that God wants in us. And we should offer the sacrifice of praise daily. Folks, the fire should be ever burning upon the altar of our hearts. Every single day it should never go out. Now, as I bring this to a close, and that usually means everybody's going to start zipping their Bibles and everything, but y'all hold on just a second. You know what it means when a pastor says, as I bring this to a close. Yep. Let me just say this. The basic feature of the burnt offering was that the whole body of the victim was consumed. Everything was used. The burnt offering pictures the perfect and the entire surrender of Christ Himself, our example. It was exhibited by His life and His death on earth, and it teaches us the duty that each one of us have in self-sacrifice, what we need to do. I want to remind you of an old quote. It says, only one life will 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So if you've ever thought about the Old Testament and said, oh, yeah, that didn't really do anything for me, reading about animals being cut up. I want you to think about what we heard tonight, and not my words, but what God gave me to share tonight, and just what He showed me of how we need to live our lives on fire for God and never, ever let that fire go out. Now, I don't know how many people are watching on Facebook, listening online, how many might in the future, but let me just say, if you're here, I believe everybody here is saved. I wouldn't know, only you and God know. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, then I would just ask you to give your heart to the Lord tonight. If you're online and you hear this, whether it's now or 10 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come back, please give your heart to the Lord before it's eternally too late. But as Christians, let me say this to us here. Let me just ask you, is God trying to rekindle a flame, a relationship that's somehow gone cold? Folks, we need to take the time right now to talk to Him, and we need to keep that fire burning brightly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the opportunity to stand here and preach Your Word. I thank You for just those little nuggets You allowed me to see as I went through Your Word that sometimes we just read over quickly and say, oh, let me get through this book so I can say it's one of the 66 that I read. But Lord, You speak to us in so many ways, and I thank You for this and pray that You'd help me to apply it more to my life, help me to be more on fire for You every day, and for those here, Lord, listening, whether online or here present, Lord, I pray that You would help each one of us to be more on fire for You. And I pray that this has provided a deeper, a richer understanding of that sacrificial nature of how our spiritual lives should be lived. Lord, help us to keep that fire burning. Lord, I love you and I praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Anybody else have anything? Brother?
That did a lot for me tonight. I made a bunch of notes. About how all the pieces were on the altar. Everything totally was placed upon the altar. The blood, all of it, totally consumed. And I like how you brought in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Did that do something for y'all tonight? It did a lot for me. And I hope it did for all those watching on Facebook. What a blessing it is. The Old Testament is still relevant as the New Testament is. And it's the complete whole Word of God that helps us grow. So we thoroughly, thoroughly appreciate that, Brother Don. Thank you so much for speaking tonight. Anybody have anything else to share before we conclude? All right, well, just remember Christmas in July coming up very soon. This coming up, what, Saturday? Wow, time flies. Time flies. Almost Christmas. Almost Christmas. So remember that as well this coming up Saturday. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And everybody just have a great night and drive home safely. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for Brother Don that dug deep, Lord, for us tonight. And how enjoyable it was to be able to sit and listen and apply. And it's just been a fruitful night for me. Pray that you'd continually be with Brother Don and Miss Carla, Lord. Continue to have your hand upon their ministry, the ministry that you've given them to do in Peru and everywhere else they go. And Lord, just be with us tonight. Keep us safe as we go home. Give us a great rest of the week. Help us tell someone about Jesus and come back ready to worship in your house. Be that vessel that is ready to pour out to the life of others when we enter in his church, your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Class is dismissed.